If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is the technology of light and moving beyond the current global dangers. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward into alignment with your divine soul, your divine purpose as soul. And allow yourself to be clothed and enmantled with the blessing and benefaction of all those who stand above, around, below, and all around you as your benefactors, as your teammates, as your co-workers. And just have a sense, if you will, that you work as a group, as a vast global network of connecting lights, connecting minds, connecting visions. And if you will, imagine yourself reaching out and taking the hand of the one on your right and the one on your left, and see yourselves as connecting points of light, like diamonds, shimmering, glowing, and showing forth many different facets of unique expression, each one commutating and stepping down the divine will and plan upon this precious planet. And see the planet, if you will, absolutely networked in every conceivable place, all interconnected by you, the emissaries, the vanguard of light. And now, I want you to connect very consciously with what has been called the unified field or the Christ consciousness grid. It connects through the heart. It cannot be used by anyone who is not in an intention of loving goodwill. So it keeps it safe. No ego can interject itself into the Christ consciousness grid. Many of us traveled all around the world, myself being one of them, establishing and anchoring that Christ consciousness grid back in the 90s. That's what all that traveling was about. And so now we have a strong network. And for the first time in history, we are functioning as a group soul, as one unified unit or soul. So connect with your heart. Take a deep breath. And see a golden light connecting to all the hearts of all the other light workers throughout the world. If you like, you can see yourself as a golden spiral surrounding the whole earth. Yeah. Wow. Just hold that as a strong visual. Feel that solidarity that we have, that unified strength. Because within our grouping, we cover all the bases. every single vibratory frequency of each of your unique presentations as a being goes to making the completion that we presented to time-space. Excellent. And keep that sense with you, if you will. Begin your spiritual practice each day by consciously joining mentally and through the heart with your fellow workers of light. See yourself joining hand in hand, heart to heart, throughout the earth, surrounding the earth, spiraling all around the earth. And where there are vast areas where there doesn't seem to be any habitation, intend your light to express its radiance into those areas. Visualize, if you will, pillars of divine light in all of the oceans, in all of the desert areas, in all of the remote, uninhabited areas of our planet. See your own self as a column of light, as an anchoring of the Supreme Presence and immortal love wherever you are. And so when you get up in the morning and you've joined through this collective unified field of Christ consciousness, then sit quietly and tune in to the energy of the day. Notice how each day will lend itself to a particular expression. Learn to go with that flow and not to try to force things that the energy is not present with that day. If you obey the flow of energy for each day, those of you who are writers will never have a day when the writing and the inspiration doesn't flow. Those of you who have perhaps bills and things to work on that require your focus, perhaps your taxes, do them on the day when the energy is aligned to do that. Do all of the things that you do each day in accordance with the energy flows of that particular day. And when you sit quietly and tune in to the energy of the day, pay attention to the thoughts that might show up in your mind, or to the people or places or situations that may appear in your mind's eye. Those are the ones that you are to send your light to. So, send the light without emotion, without anything other than for the highest good, for that person, place, or situation, and release it to God to decide how that's going to work out. So each of you may be drawn to pray or send the light in your own particular way, according to your background and training. And that variety is good because it covers all the bases. So whether you pray the rosary and focus on Mother Mary, or you chant Om in the Gayatri Mantra, or sing Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, or pray biblical scripture over certain situations, all of these work. They'll all help. So pick and choose that which makes your devotion and your light and love flow forth the most easily. But we need to pray sincerely from our hearts. Not by rote where you read something out of a book. No, learn to talk spontaneously from your heart when you speak to God and when you speak to one another. And whatever you do in an offering to God, know that it's rendered pure. The offering itself removes any bad energy. But it must be offered in loving devotion. That's the main thing. So we all need to create a daily God time to spiritually connect and attune until
we walk in that all the time, and we don't lose track. And that is going to be your fortress, your refuge, and maybe even the difference between being in a calamity or disaster and having it happen, but you're not in that particular space. You're not in that particular time flow. Earn grace by your devotion and your consecration to being obedient to that which arises within you as a divine directive. You know, I think probably more than anything else, your main challenge is in being your own source of approval and validation and information and support. You know, when you're out front as a vanguard of new possibilities, there's no one to follow but your inner knowing and sense of direction. Your walk may be such that you really have no one with whom you can fully share your deepest essence. Some of you may prefer living alone. You may be alone, but loneliness is an unnecessary interpretation. If you remember our union as a collective soul, as a collective vanguard of light, you will never feel alone. We may not know each other. We may be on different ends of the world, but we're connected more intimately than any relationship you could even imagine. For we are one in God, one in divine purpose, one in consecration and commitment of our lives. So, you may find it extremely difficult to live in close relationship with a mate or others who make emotional demands on you that you're not in alignment with in your own directive. Your own directive. That's where you have to be true to yourself and find a way to diplomatically but kindly give yourself the freedom to be self-determined. Some of your mates may require a traditional gender-defined role play in order to feel secure. That's one of the things you're transitioning now, because the soul is non-gender defined. It is function defined, but non-gender defined. So in the new paradigm, we walk side by side as co-equal, co-workers of God. Whether the physical vehicle is female or male, it makes no difference. In the higher levels of consciousness, all material forms are defined as female, with God, the Purusha, being the soul animator, or male, that fills the forms. So, realize that those who are whole make no demands. So the more self and God realization you manifest, the more you will leave everyone alone and honor their right to think, express, and live as they choose. You will accord yourself the same rights. The allowance you extend may itself call forward more accusations upon your head of being cold, impersonal, too independent, having no personal opinions on current issues and so forth. It is true, you will refrain from personality ego-based opinions, gossip, and any discussion of what others should or should not do. For the spiritual laws of harmlessness and non-interference require you to be silent more often than not. You, as soul, very dispassionately looks at life through your eyes while extending such a depth of understanding, empathy, and compassion that you find no need to point out the errors of others or to seek retribution. You are secure in the awareness that what is yours will come to you in exactly the perfect manner and timing. You are so trusting of what is yours, knowing that it will come to you in exactly the perfect manner and timing, that you don't worry. You are so trusting of the divine order and harmonious balance of life in all events, that even your total lack of worry and concern may baffle, confuse, and irritate those, you know, who haven't gotten to that place yet within themselves. It's funny, we don't, many of us even have a strong preference as to the outcomes in our life, because we know that all things work themselves together for ultimate good, for ultimate soul transcendence into the immortal and eternal components of the self that are completely unmarked or unaffected by our passage through this dream of time and space. So even your serenity and open friendliness, your positivity and joy, can rub the sour and embitter it the wrong way. So your challenge is not to take their reactions personally, nor to demand cordiality or kindness. Realize that those who are ill are often irascible in their temperament and in their reactions. And know that most members of the human race are sick and tired of the poor and miserable excuse of a life that they've been living. And there's really, when you stop to think about it, only three kinds of people. Those who hope that there is more to life, those who have lost hope that there is more to life, and those who know that there is infinitely more to life. The great cosmic avatar Satya Sai Baba has likened the world to a psychiatric ward, as a metaphor for the type of life lived in the stages of spiritual ignorance, where those who are mentally ill with what he calls birth and death disease are thrashing about in misery, feverish with evil visions and things they conjure in their imagination and seek to escape. But until the true life of the soul begins to course reality through every fiber of one's being, this battling with the phantoms of the mind will continue. Reality, know this, reality, divine reality and revelation is always accompanied by the experience of joy and freedom. So it is the task of those of us who have had genuine spiritual experience to communicate, to write and teach, and to share our experiences, and thus to increase humanity's understanding of the divine principle within, which is the soul, which is pure divine love, the indwelling Lord, personal and immanent. Intelligent cooperation with that portion of the plan that by background, training, and natural inclination, one is the most drawn to in service. That is what is called for. There is much to do in birthing and providing suitable forms for the emerging collective vision and highest ideals. In creating the architecture of the Aquarian civilization. And as each of us contributes our portion, the grand edifice shall arise stone by stone, to then be filled with the warmth and cheer of the family spirit of true global community. So know that you are divinely commissioned as a vanguard of the new era to go forth in fullest activation and empowerment to fulfill that which you have been sent into this world to do. Know that mighty ones accompany you every step of the way and will bridge for you any inadequacies that you may feel inhibit your fullest expression. Therefore, you may proceed in total confidence. For the possibility of failure has not been written into the script. Know that you are one of the Lord's hosts. You are a potent voice in world affairs. You who labor to improve the human condition through injecting new thought and new energetic infusions into the prevailing social structures may not always find it welcomed, certainly not easy, but your strength lies in your, let's say, dogged determination, because you'll never give up. You may have a bad day where you'd like to give up, but no, you will never give up. And so we have moved as a collective called New Agers or Light Workers from being a subculture to having an increasingly potent voice in world affairs. We have progressed from the outer fringes of society into the mainstream. For we've come from the mainstream. And we've arisen with shining eyes from every race, creed, and country, every age, every gender. And your voice is that of the awakening conscience, promptings of the collective soul of humanity. Your writings, your voice, your vision, your ideas have been responsible for sparking a growing public awareness and assuming responsibility for taking care of planet Earth, its life forms, and each other in more loving and effective ways. In some instances, a single book you've written or a film that you have produced has been responsible for inspiring a shift in the awareness and attitude of the entire planet. You are the systems busters of outmoded approach, the evangels of outrageous individuality. Even as you embrace the ideal of universal unity. So one of the most difficult things for us, and according to the Master Moria, the most difficult quality lacking in most people is the ability to synthesize and see the underlining oneness and unity in the many approaches. For example, the false dichotomy we see between science and religion. No such dichotomy exists, and yet we are not seeing the godness in the science. And a science without the principle of divinity leads to destruction. That is what destroyed Atlantis and probably every civilization, if you really look at what contributed to the downfall of any given civilization. You will find that it veered off from the moral compass that is the innate integrity of the soul. There's a natural integrity that the soul abides by. It doesn't even have to be taught. If no one were around to teach and indoctrinate us, Sai Baba said that nature itself would teach us all about God. Because all of creation and everything in nature is telling us and revealing to us the nature of divinity and the purpose of life. So two of the things that are blocking us right now on this planet from entering into the age of light and being able to access the technology of light that the masters have come to gift us with is the curse of commercialization and the use of all nuclear power, nuclear vision. Until every single nuclear plant, atomic bomb, and every single form of military defense system that is based on nuclear vision, until that is completely abolished from the planet, we cannot be given the technology of light, which is unlimited free energy. One of the things that the world teacher, Lord Maitreya, is going to speak very strongly about when he declares himself and is openly speaking is the need for immediate abolishment of anything having to do with the atom bomb. If you wonder why the exterior globes of the various planets in our solar system seem to be barren and denuded, it's because long ago, it's spoken of in the Bible as the war in the heavens, and also in the Vedic scriptures, when a vast war based on nuclear power completely destroyed all life on the outer surface of these planets in our solar system. But nowadays, you see, we have even a worse form of that power. And some of those same souls that participated in that destruction and that war in the heavens long ago, or who tried to bring in a soulless mind-based technology into Atlantis, which caused a complete disruption of the energies, leading to its eventual destruction. Some of those same souls are trying to do it again. And so, those of you who crave power and technology, beware. Without God, without the principle of humanity, and the principle of genuine spiritual authority, which can only be gotten through purity and dissolving the ego mind and becoming a pure instrument for the soul to function through, you will not succeed and you will end up destroying yourself. We may, in our foolishness, bring ourselves to the very brink of destruction. That may be the only way to get our attention. And God knows we are kind of courting that right now. But the Lord will intervene at the last moment and save the day, which is the general storyline in the book of Revelation. I personally believe we have other alternate parallel realities and timelines we can opt for so that we don't go to that extreme. But what is it going to take to make that shift? Well, I'm so bold as to suggest that each one of us as a light worker can place ourselves before Almighty God and His wonderful angels and masters of this and other planetary worlds, and we can ask to be a pure conduit, to have that as our intention, that we could be a pure conduit through which divine grace and transformative power can flow through us to make the necessary changes. If we can just table and put aside our own petty little grievances and problems and self-focus and all the really trivial things that we fill our lives with, and from this moment onward, have one complete commitment, and that is to be a vehicle for God to operate through. What does that look like? Well, it looks like you don't make plans for yourself and you don't make commitments of your time, energy, and focus that are not on purpose and aligned with what you are being given and instructed to do spiritually. You're going to look really odd to most of the people around you. You're going to lose a lot of friends. Hey, you want to go bar hopping tonight? You want to go sing karaoke at such and such a saloon? You want to go do drugs and snort and shoot and whatever the heck you do when you do those things? If you still have people like that in your life, they're not going to be there very long, because you're going to say, no, I'm focused someplace else. And you're going to guard your time. You're going to guard your mind. You're going to guard your physical instrument to serve the purpose of that divine spirit that is your true self. You're not going to give away your time, your life, your energy, your focus on things that don't count towards manifesting the divine kingdom of light upon earth. So, for the first time in our planetary history, we are present, conspicuously present in many places of the world, but very, very present in the United States and other countries that are in positions of global power. And we are the first generation ever to stand up in our millions all over the planet and say, no more. We want truth. We demand human rights. We demand the right to be and to believe and to live and to have the wherewithal to live decent lives. We demand justness and fairness and the equal distribution of the world's resources to meet the needs of everyone. And you know what? We're going to march. We're going to hopefully have peaceful sit-ins and march. Not in anger, not in aggression, not in againstness, but in the power of an awakened soul that sees that the way we're living right now has no good future. In fact, it has no future. The Masters have said that the pollution and the radiation right now on our planet is the single most threat to our survival now. And we have only a few short years, according to the Masters, left before it reaches such a level that even our beloved space family, the Ashtar Command and the Victory 1 fleets and the other great, great members of the Confederation, that even they, working 24/7 as they do to keep neutralizing the excess radiation so that we can, according to as much as they're allowed to do karmically, survive, we may reach a point where even they can no longer hold back the destruction that we're wreaking upon one another and upon our planet. So when I say commit yourself 100% to be a conduit for new possibilities, new bright ideas, new bright plans, new bright ways for new things to insert themselves into our society. There are so many doing wonderful things on the planet. Find them and join in with them, or start your own thing and draw people into your particular work. Some people are meant to, you see, invent and anchor these things. Others are meant to support them financially, as long as we still need this obsolete thing we call money. And some are meant to actually build and manufacture and get those things out into the marketplace. And some are meant to lobby and bring these things before the elected officials of their land. And being that relentless voice, relentless, 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 and more and more and more in your numbers until there's no way to ignore your voice and your demands. That's our task as awakening ones, as light workers. And we're everywhere. I don't care what field of endeavor. You will find the infiltration of workers of light. We're everywhere. You can't stop us. You can't shut us up. And you know what? There's so many of us, you can't kill us off. You can't get rid of us. So we are the vanguard of the golden age. We are a potent voice in world affairs. We are the most powerful agent of social transformation. We are the voice of the new era. Our presence has ushered in the space age. We are manifesting the kingdom of God on earth. For the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is but the radiating life of the soul operating through the human instrument. We are preparing for the Aquarian Mystery Schools and the spiritual centers that will be everywhere throughout the world. We are the ones who are building the free educational systems that Sai Baba has started and is continuing to inspire. And hospitals where free medical care is given for everyone. And so many wonderful works are cropping up everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And we're doing that. Now, these places we're preparing are for the world teacher and the masters of wisdom and the travelers and the Avatar Premasai and other great ones to openly travel and teach throughout the world. So we are pointing the way to ever brighter possibilities. So never doubt yourself. Because you know what? You are being lived by something greater. Now one of the things that started showing up, primarily in South England, but now seen everywhere throughout the world, are the crop circles. As I told you last week, they're primarily made by Commander Soltec's Phoenix Fleets, which is a division of the Ashtar Command. They're primarily made by beings like Commander Soltec, who are Martian, and also the Venusians, with an occasional crop circle made by people from, Jupiter and Mercury. And what they're doing is preparing an anchoring grid field for the new technology of light, which will be given only when we abolish for all time nuclear bombs and war. All of that has to be off the planet and no longer an option by any nation. Then only can we be given the technology of light, which is unlimited free energy for every possible use. Unlimited energy. Only our imagination will limit it. So crop circles are found not only in cereal crops, but also high in the mountains, in the snow, on frozen lakes, in the oceans, remote desert areas. You can't always see them, but the energy field has been laid. And then in an interfacing between the Earth's magnetic field, this grid, which is anchored, and the solar energy, you will have from those two, which are representative really of the Father and Mother God energies, the technology of light will be birthed. And also the crop circles are meant to draw interest and cause people to inquire, where do they come from? Who is doing this? And why? But you know, it's so interesting. People see what they want to see, and so many go into just denial. If it confounds the ego, they just give up. They just say, well, we don't know what it is. It's just go on, do something else. But again, the space people are relentless, and their love and their commitment to awaken us all to the beauty of an ever-expanding and heavily populated, beautiful, loving creation. Beautiful cosmos that keeps expanding in the bliss of the divine self. That over-self that we call God. So they convey messages that are in a universal language of mathematics and sacred geometry and symbols that we recognize from different religious traditions. But they speak to us at a level that goes beyond the ego and the ego mind. So they're really love letters from our star family. And it's interesting because they never cause harm. That alone should convey to humanity the benign nature of the beings from other planets. They may stimulate one's energy if you go and sit in a crop circle, or even assist in healing some condition, because they balance and harmonize the Earth's overall energy and that of anyone who comes into their radiation. So also the majority appearing in the UK are meant to point to Maitreya's presence there. Lord Maitreya entered the modern world from his abode in Shambhala in the high Himalayas in a body he constructed that is virtually indestructible. It can't be killed, doesn't have to eat or sleep, it will never age, and is an immortalized vehicle of light that he has constructed through meditation. And he put it on, donned it, so to speak, kept his light body in suspended animation in Shambhala, got on a plane, and entered the modern world as a Pakistani immigrant and took up residence in the Asian section of East London on July 19th, 1977, which is interesting because my last radio seminar, I specifically did it on Lord Maitreya, not realizing that it was the 19th of July, 2017, exactly 40 years from the time Lord Maitreya entered the modern world. And I thought, wow, you see, I was tuning in to the flow of what I should share and just going with that flow. But I hadn't planned to even speak about Maitreya. Sometimes I haven't a clue what I'm going to say before I open my mouth. So that's the way it is when you are innocent of doership and simply present yourself as an instrument to which God can operate. Now, granted, I've had decades of training in esotericism in all the world religions and have studied extensively my whole life. And so I have a large operating, let's say, library of information coupled with direct experience, which enables me to speak in a way that synthesizes and brings together all of the many disparate approaches to God so that I can share from a variety of perspectives. And thus I can speak to a very, very wide audience, global audience, each week in a different way, a slightly different way that's going to resonate with someone, somewhere, and lead them to greater light and understanding. But each week is different. Each flow is slightly different. Each message goes out on many, many vibratory frequency levels through the agency of the Ashtar Command to stimulate, quicken, activate, and awaken you spiritually to your greater purpose and mission. So if you are a teacher and called forward to teach, such as I do, it's important that you have a background, that you have training, that you have the ability to bring forward very profound information in very simple ways that anybody can understand, because the people coming in today, by and large, are not reading. They're not reading. They're not studying. They're watching YouTubes. They're Googling for their answers. They're sending little text messages to one another. So the people like myself, who are one of the pioneers to catalyze this whole movement, we are now training those who will be taking on after us. But they're a different type. They're a different type than we were. So we need to recognize that the youth of today don't need all of that background that we had to come with to lay in that foundation of understanding. So we can kind of trust that they're going to speak in their own language in their own way. Maybe not in a spiritual way, as we would define it, but by the evidence of their goodwill, their enthusiasm, their compassion and kindliness, you can tell that they have a spiritual intention behind their actions. And you'll see that more and more. Many of the young people today come in without that old karma. I mean, some do. But some of them haven't been on this planet maybe since the last golden age. And they're very new. And they're very pure in their outlook. And they don't have the heavy baggage of karma that maybe some have from Atlantis or the galactic battles. And so they naturally come in with a presence of peace. As the presence of peace, as the presence of equanimity, as the priest, the just open-hearted sense of oneness with all life. So whoever you are, however you are just right. Because you know we're much like time-release capsules. You know those vitamins, like vitamin C, that release its potency throughout the day. We're kind of like that in our entrance into the time-space continuum of this world. We don't all come in with the same potency, but we come in releasing the potency bit by bit, so that there's always an ongoing dispensation or dispensing of what we've come to give, what we've come to contribute. So don't wait until you're perfect. Don't wait until you've got all your ducks in a row, until you, you know, are more loving, more wise, more spiritual, more whatever. Know that where you are, how you are, is perfect because you will be able to speak into the lives of the people that are just like yourself and help them with the same issues that you are coming out of. So your own healing, your own coming out of your own situations, whatever you created for yourself, is part of your gift, your contribution in different areas. Many people are struggling with all kinds of addictive patterns. And there has to be those of you who have are coming out of addictive patterns that can help these people. So whoever you are, whatever you are, you're a perfect instrument for the divine to utilize. And you're not doing it anyway. You're an instrument. So however you are used, it's going to be absolutely perfect for that person. It's going to give them everything they need in that exchange, however brief or however long. So whatever you teach will be all that needs to be said at that moment. So have faith in that. And don't keep looking for the fruits. Let your own way be invisible to your eyes. Just intend that you're an instrument of God and don't look back. You don't have enough information to critique your own performance. And don't feel overly concerned when you mess up, because maybe that mess up was not really a mess up, but something that was necessary at that time for reasons that you know not of. So just end cycle on judging yourself or anyone. And do all you possibly can within your field of influence to share whatever the Divine Spirit is inspiring you to share. Some of you may march and protest the injustices in various areas of the world. Some of you may have the Dharma of maintaining self-awareness or certain states of God realization. Maybe you have little contact with the outer world. Some of you may be in business with great responsibilities on your shoulders. Some of you may be living a quiet life, maybe raising children, growing vegetables on a farm. But wherever you are and whatever you are, you are the way that God appears on this earth. And the way His kingdom is manifesting, which is the seventh golden age. And that's what you need to remember, that you just bring forward your talent, your ability, your gifts, and offer them in loving devotion to the Lord. Whatever it is, you're baking a cake or preparing a meal or taking care of a young infant, or maybe you have a shelter for dogs or horses or elephants or other animals that are abused and discarded. Maybe you're working in a hospice. Maybe you're a doctor, a nurse, a policeman, a judge. You could be anywhere doing anything. Maybe you're in government. Maybe you're in economics. But wherever you are, offer your actions as your loving made manifest. Offer them to the Lord, however you relate to the divine. Make that your offering, your yagna. And then it is pure, without taint of ego. And you will be known as the miracle workers of these times. And in the scriptures that will be written about these times, your names will be part of that. That's what Sai Baba has said, that our names and our stories will be part of the scriptures of the future. So let's make ours one of loving devotion and consecration and selflessness as much as we can possibly embody that. And let's prepare the way for a world without warfare, without atom bombs, that exists with the free energy of the technologies of light. And let's hold each other hand in hand, and together we come in the name of the Lord. We are the hosts of the Lord, the people of God, the Ami Shaddai. And so it is. So I hope this has been helpful to you. Let's go out chanting three Anai Hues. Deep breath. Raise your palms and imagine that the earth is in front of you. And let's wish and send the light that all beings and all the worlds and all the beings on earth may be peaceful, may be happy, and may awaken to the love that they are. God bless you. We love you. Peace. Be still. And that is a wonderful mantra that you can say every day as you look upon this precious earth. Namaste.